Bill, to start off with, the state I know is trying to fill some vacancies of its own. Nearly one in four state jobs are vacant, and you've been doing some rapid hire events. Tell me about that and how it's working.
Well, this last week, the state actually held a very large rapid hire event. It was very interesting because we had on-site hiring in Albuquerque for those people living in Albuquerque and Santa Fe, but there are a lot of state departments in different parts of the state. And what we were able to do was have online Zoom-type interviews with people. So if they say, hey, look, I'm in Las Cruces looking to get a job with the Department of Transportation, or I'm a nurse trying to get in with the Department of Health, there were actually opportunities for you to go into our Workforce Solutions office here in Las Cruces or in Deming or in Alamogordo or in Silver City and interview online. There were 700 jobs that were up to be filled in the last 4 days. And what we're trying to say is, look, we have a lot of needs. There's folks out there that need jobs. We want you to help us build the state. Come in and interview with us, and we will expedite the hiring process. And so we should know by the end of the week how many of those jobs have been filled.
Okay, good news. You, on another issue related to labor, wrote a column that is available at krwg.org, and it was also published in many newspapers about the minimum wage going up to $9 in January, and then each year going forward, it will rise until it reaches $12 in 2023. I want to talk about that. This was a very hard-fought effort in the last legislative session.
Yeah, you know, Governor Lujan Grisham believes passionately and strongly in an economy that works for everybody, and so do the rest of us that work with her. And when you look at the minimum wage, when you're making $7.50 an hour, working 40 hours a week, for a lot of people, that does not get you out of poverty. And so we really believe strongly in this governor's administration that a fair day's work should end up with a fair day's wage. When you look at states across the country, in fact, the majority of states have raised their minimum wage. And I'm not just talking in places like, you know, California or Massachusetts. You see places like Missouri, Arkansas. These folks are actually raising their minimum wage as well. These are not, you know, deeply progressive states because people understand that, hey, if you're working 40 hours a week, you should be able to take care of yourself and your family. And when you look at our neighbors to the north in Colorado, they've had a minimum wage that's much higher than ours for a long time and yet are absolutely thriving. And one of the reasons for that is when people make a higher minimum wage, those folks are not taking their money and investing it overseas or investing it in Wall Street. They are buying new school supplies for their kids. They're fixing their cars. They're paying their rent. They're putting that money right back into the economy. And so you see a higher minimum wage at this level really be a win-win economically for both workers and communities. And so it's really important for people to know that the minimum wage statewide is going up to $9 an hour starting on January 1st. It will increase to those levels that you just talked about in subsequent years. Furthermore, it's also important to know that if you live here in Las Cruces, your minimum wage is higher. And if you are in the city of Las Cruces, and you're being paid the state minimum wage, that is illegal. And so it's really up to employers and workers here in the city to know those differences.
Absolutely. Well, of course, the state is also trying to create jobs, incentivize the creation of jobs that in many cases may pay much more than the minimum wage. And recently, there was a job announcement in Las Cruces, and there were incentives provided to help build a local hemp company. This is pretty interesting because this company will grow hemp, but also produce and sell hemp products. I want to talk about the potential for this industry. I know this is something a lot of people are talking about.
Yeah, you know, when Governor Lujan Grisham got elected last year, she put out an economic plan where there were 9 different areas that they wanted the state to focus on in order to grow the economy and diversify the economy. That's a really, really important thing because for so long we've been so dependent on oil and gas and the federal government, depending on where you are in the state. And if you look at these 9 planks of this platform, one of those was value-added agriculture. So what does that mean? It means you're not just growing the plants, you're also producing the things that the plants make. So instead of just, say, sending off the chili to somewhere else to make the salsa, you're making the salsa here. With hemp, it's really important that we not only grow this new and very, very lucrative crop, but we try to get those folks that are going to turn the hemp into creams, oils. You see hemp being used in all sorts of stuff, from car seat fillers to stereo equipment. And so the amount of opportunity for folks to benefit economically from this, it has a lot of potential, and we are really, really excited to be moving forward in this area.
Well, speaking of moving forward, you mentioned earlier in relation to the minimum wage, Colorado. I was there not too long ago in Denver and was amazed at the fact that you almost don't see any vacancies, and you just see a boom. And part of this is being attributed to the fact that a number of years ago, Colorado approved recreational marijuana. As you know, the governor has put this on the call for the session. It's something you pushed for as a legislator. It's unclear if this has enough support yet in the legislature, but I want to ask this question in terms of your current job in Workforce Solutions, the potential for this industry should this pass.
The estimate on the amount of jobs that can be created here in New Mexico if cannabis is legalized for recreational use is roughly 11,000. And that's everything from growing to distribution to marketing, all those different areas. And when you look at what happened in Prohibition in the 1920s, you see a similar thing. People wanted at the time to drink beer, and they were going to do so whether it was legal or not. And you had Prohibition happen. It was an absolute failure. And in the 30s, they got rid of it and everything came back to the legal market. I think you're going to see a similar type of issue here. You've seen it, as you pointed out, in other states around the nation. And so the governor will put this on the call this year. It's something she's working and the staff is working extremely hard on to try to come up with a really realistic, safe, comprehensive way of doing this legalization effort. And it's really important that we look at some of these other states like Colorado, who's had it for almost a decade now, and say, okay, what are the things that you think you did well? What are the things that maybe you could improve on so that we can do that? And furthermore, understand that New Mexico is not Colorado or Washington or California or any of these other places. And there's a very deep, thoughtful effort being put right now to get legislation passed. And I'm certain that the legislators this year will consider it. And obviously, I hope it passes. The governor thinks this is important, as do I. I think we can benefit economically from this. There are going to be some more discussions when we move forward. So obviously, it's still illegal at the federal level. How have other states kind of navigated that conflict? And one of the bigger issues is with employers. So you have people that have a certain idea about what cannabis is and what it isn't. And they say, hey, if you're on this, there's no way you're going to come and work for me. Whereas if you have other folks, mainly in the younger generation, who grew up with this, using it like alcohol. So I like to have a couple of beers. I'm an Aggie. I watch football on Sunday and I like to drink a couple of beers, right? Well, I'm not drunk on Monday.
Right.
And when I go to work, and if I use cannabis on Sunday, I'm not under the influence on Monday if I haven't used it that day. The problem is the testing still shows that it's in your blood. And some people might say, hey, look, you have a couple of beers on Sunday watching the game. You're at work on Monday. You're fine. I eat a couple of brownies. I smoke a couple of marijuana cigarettes on Sunday. I'm fine on Monday, but you test me and you fire me. That doesn't make any sense. And so really trying to find a way to navigate the cultural differences and try to talk to people about how we treat this like alcohol is going to be one of the situations we have moving forward.
Okay. Well, watch it. And whether it happens in January or not, we don't know yet. But it certainly, I would imagine, would come up in 2021 if it's not going to happen in 2020. So this is a general question, I realize. It could go in a lot of directions. But I'm curious, in terms of your input on other industries where you think there is opportunity for growing the workforce in New Mexico.
Well, as I pointed out, the governor has this plank of nine things. And on those On that list, you see things like growing the border and really increasing our trade with Mexico. You see, as we talked about with hemp, value-added agriculture. You see aerospace, and Virgin Galactic is really starting to kick in right now. In fact, we at Workforce Solutions are really proud. We're going to be starting a very small pilot apprenticeship program with them. They have an internship website that's on their own site. They have 130 workers now here in the Doña Ana and Sierra County areas. Half of those are local. And so there's a real opportunity with the aerospace industry move forward. You see the film industry doing very, very well in New Mexico, and there's a lot of opportunities. Now, as these areas of economic growth come in, it's really important that people understand, hey, look, if I want to get jobs in these areas, I have to have a skill set. 97% of the jobs created in the United States after 2010 require you to have over a high school degree. Now, that doesn't mean you necessarily have to have a bachelor's or a PhD, but you have to have the skills necessary to get those jobs. Let me give you an example. In the film industry, what are we hearing? They don't really need actors. They don't need people to operate the cameras. They don't need script writers. What they need is folks that know how to build sets. They need people that can do makeup and costumes. They need demolitions experts, which sounds like a good time. But they need all of these very specific skill areas. When you look at the aerospace industry, they need mechanics. They need engineers. They need all the folks that are going to be doing these very technical things. Healthcare, we need nurses everywhere. If you want a job in this state and want to make good money, go and get a nursing degree, because that is the single highest in-demand job in the state of New Mexico. Yeah. So as we talk about these areas, we're working very, very hard to grow them. What we also have to do is really talk to people about developing the skills they need to get these new jobs in the 21st century and growing policies that can allow them to do that.
And what are the biggest challenges in terms of our state specifically?
Yeah.
In growing good opportunities here.
So there's two things that you hear from every company everywhere when they want to figure out whether they want to start or whether they want to grow. The first is infrastructure. Do you have the roads you need to get to a warehouse? Do you have the water needs so you can operate whatever you have going there? Do you have broadband internet, because we live in the 21st century and it's important to have that kind of access? So are we doing what we need to do to provide these infrastructure needs that companies need to grow and thrive? The second is workforce. And this is one you're hearing all over the country, especially now that unemployment is fairly low. Can you get folks to come in to have those skills that they need to get these jobs and help these companies move forward? The other thing that we're hearing too in terms of workers is soft skills. So it's not just, hey, look, I know how to fix this diesel engine. It's, do I show up on time? Do I know how to work as a team to solve problems? Can I communicate well? And that's something that you hear over and over as many young people today, it's kind of I'm on my phone all the time.
Yeah.
And I'm texting language or I'm doing Instagram. Can I actually talk to someone face to face? That actually is an issue that I hear pretty much everywhere from employers. So these are the types of things, if we can really work on infrastructure in these targeted areas and develop a workforce that has the skills and ambition to do well in these, that's how we're going to grow our communities.
Okay. Finally, Bill, looking down the pike a bit, what are some of your biggest goals for Workforce Solutions?
Well, as I said, the governor feels very passionately and very strongly that we need to have an economy that works for everybody. And that means lowering the unemployment rate. You know, that's our ultimate goal. How do we get our unemployment rate more along the lines of our surrounding states and the nation as a whole? It also means growing job opportunities so I can make a better salary. And that is really why the minimum wage going up is important, but also the skills preparation that we need to work on with our high schools, our colleges, and our universities so that you can get these jobs as they come open. Those are the things that we're really trying to do. Can we grow our wages? Can we lower the minimum wage? If we do that, I think you're going to see this state going where it needs to be. Those are the things that the governor has tasked me to do, and those are the things that we're working on very hard.
All right. Bill McCamley. Bill, thank you so much for stopping in.
Thanks, Fred.